All right. Good to see each of you here today. We'll get started here. Hopefully all of you received a copy of the song sheets that I handed out, except for Brother Chris. I'll make sure he gets his in just a moment. But our first song is in our hymn book. We're going to sing that first, 216. Jason referred to this recently. This is one of Pastor Freeman's favorites. It's a song we like a lot, too. If we were to stand, why don't we do so on this 216? Time when all that will be done. Satan won't be around anymore to cause any more trouble.
Amen.
All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for each one who's here today. We thank you for the safety and travel getting here. We pray for those who are usually here and weren't able to make it this morning. We pray that you would comfort their hearts and strengthen them. For those who are feeling ill and unable to attend, we pray particularly for Brother Dave Root and his situation. He's really struggling physically right now. We pray that you just encourage him and strengthen him, help him to recover. We hope to see him and Sister Virginia here very soon. Pray that you would just comfort their hearts today. Be with Kelly as he continues to recover. Thank you that she was able to come home. Now her lung function is the best it's been in a long time. Pray that you would just continue to work in her life. Thank you for the privilege we have to be in your house today. We pray that you would speak to us through your word. Be with our pastor. Thank you for giving him to us. We pray that you would use him. And we pray that all the details that need to be worked out so that they can be here on a permanent basis will be taken care of according to your will and way. It's frustrating to a lot of us, but as he said earlier, we need the patience. And so you put testings in our lives so that that will be accomplished. Help us as we worship today that you would receive the honor and glory for all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Give Pastor just a moment here. This is my fault. I forgot to hand out a couple sheets to everybody. Our first song of the sheets that I handed out, I'd like to do I'll Fly Away.
Hey.
Good song. I trust all of you can, too. the right spirits here right now.
Amen.
And that's a definite blessing from the Lord. All right. Couple of announcements. First, we are having an evening service tonight. Thankfully, we have good weather for today. We'll be able to have our service tonight at 6:30 p.m. Pastor announced in Sunday school the modified Lord's table we're going to do tonight. A lot of it is the same as what we're used to, but those preparing and then those handing out the elements will be wearing gloves for protection because of the COVID situation that we're all facing. Some of you may still be concerned and want to hold off. We understand. That's what you choose to do is between you and the Lord. But for those who would like to partake, we want to provide the opportunity for you to do so. And the only other part I want to add to that is normally when the elements are passed out, each person selects his or her own. But for the sake of everyone and their protection, those handing them out will be handing the elements out to you. Okay? Just to make sure that everybody is as safe as we possibly can. The rest we leave in the Lord's hands and we pray just as we would for any other food or drink that we would partake of, that God would provide his blessing upon that. All right. Wednesday night. Tomorrow, or is it Tuesday now? That you're going back to South Carolina.
We're going early tomorrow.
Okay. So he has to go back to South Carolina, but Lord willing, he'll be back next weekend. And continue to pray for the housing situation. They've run into some obstacles, but hopefully those can be overcome. We'll continue to pray about that. But anyway, Wednesday night, Lord willing, Brother Cliff Zimmerman will be here. So we're looking forward to seeing him. He's been a real blessing to us in the times that he's come. Privilege to have him. Okay, I believe that's all the announcements I have. Pastor, do you have anything else you want to mention right now? Okay. We won't take the time to go over it today, but don't forget we're continuing to work on Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. The theme of those two verses, of course, is that everything we see in today's society in particular, it's nothing new. It's been happening all along. There may be new schemes that people come up with, but the reason they come up with them is exactly the same. We're all sinners. All right, so we'll continue to work on that. All right, our next song, we'll do What a Day That Will Be. breakfast on Saturday morning, we always sang, we kind of called it our heaven medley. And eventually, after coming here for a while, I talked to Pastor Freeman and said, okay, what songs are on this? And then I decided, you know what, let's type them all out so we have them all here, and then we can sing them together. So if you would take that and we'll stand, please, as we sing, if you're able to. We'll sing the Heaven Medley.
What's the last song?
I make sure you have it that we know what's up. Okay. All right.
Oh,
Based on the response, it looks like we'll need to do this again sometime soon.
It's a blessing just to be able to come to church and just sing out to God.
Amen.
There, you know, I don't know if there are or not, but I'll tell you what. The statement has been made. All these hymns and songs written about the Lord Jesus Christ, but I don't think, I could be wrong, I don't think there's a songbook for Buddha. I don't think there's a songbook for Buddha. I've never seen those in the Hindu religion standing in the temple singing hymns or songs to those that believe Hindu. And those in Islam, I don't think they have a songbook for Muhammad or Allah that they would sing out to him. But you look at the Lord Jesus Christ and how many hymns and songs are written about our precious Savior. You know, that's one thing that blows my mind away about music. Is it's, to me, I believe it's infinite. The combinations of notes, and I don't know, I can't read music, but it just seems like it's an infinite thing, just like our God is infinite, therefore the praises to Him are infinite. Amen. And I forgot, you're going to do a special. No, you're going to do it. Let's go ahead and pray.
As a mighty, mighty big man.
stand because I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains to because I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
A lot of truth in that song there. Especially looking at it in the Sunday school hour, you know, the Lord puts things across our path that sometimes we look at as a hindrance, as a problem, when in reality it's the Lord trying to get you on his on your knees to draw closer to him. I can't even walk without him holding my hand. I can't even walk. I need to jump on his back. I just need to jump on my Savior's back and let him carry me. Brethren, when we realize how rotten we are in the sight of God, it's the more glory we can give unto him. I don't even know what to say this morning, brother. I thank you for that song this morning. It's been a rough week, but a rough week is a good week. Because you can come to church and you can hear a song like that. You can know that your God's there, that your Savior's there this morning. Hindus not, those that follow, he's not there this morning. Their gods are not there this morning. Right. Buddha is not there this morning. You can go to your little Buddha statue. Buddha isn't going to do nothing for you. You can cry out to Allah, Muhammad, and he's not going to do nothing for you. You cry out to Jesus Christ, and he'll do something for you this morning. You get broken before the Lord God Almighty and his precious Son by the blood he shed 2,000 years ago. He'll do something for you this morning. He'll move you this morning. He'll want you. He'll create in you a spirit to even love him more because you realize what a great God we serve. And that he would even love us and even care for us to even give us the very breath that we breathe this morning is in God's very hands. Thank you, brother, for that song. I appreciate it. This morning, it's been a good morning so far. It's been a real good morning. I needed it this morning. I don't know about you, but I needed it. I need to be in church this morning. I need to be around the brethren this morning. And that's what's needed. We need one another. One thing I've realized, the devil likes isolation. The devil likes to isolate. Sheep cannot be isolated. You just don't keep one sheep. It don't work that way. Now, do people do it? Yes, but that's not the optimal setting for a sheep. Sheep need one another, and not just Sundays and Wednesdays.
Come on.
We need fellowship with one another. We need contact with one another. We need to pray for one another. And if the Lord lays on your heart to call somebody, call them. If you ain't got it, we're going to work on it. I don't know if we have it yet. Forgive me, we're going to keep trying to get it together. After the service here, I could keep it in my mind because I forget things very easy. I'm going to put my phone number on that little white sheet over there with the schedule. I should have done it earlier. Forgive me for it. But I'm going to put my phone number on there, and if you need anything, call me. Any time of the day. Any hour, call me. And we're going to hand out a church directory. If you ain't got one, get one. And if God lays on your heart, make sure the phone number's on there correct. Call someone.
Because they might just need to hear from you that day. They might just be thinking about calling it quits. And if the Lord lays somebody on your heart, call them. I'm thankful for the times that the Lord laid me on my pastor's heart. He called me just at the time I needed him to call. He didn't know what was going on. I'm thankful that there's brothers and sisters out there that make contact and they don't know what's going on, but God lays it on their heart and it's at the exact right time you need to hear that word. How good is a word spoken? We need one another every day of the week, just as we need our Savior. And the devil thrives off isolation. Because when you're in isolation, you think, what's the use? It's just me. Nobody cares about me. What's the use of living? And don't tell me the devil won't put those thoughts in your mind. You might as well just end it. Take some pills. Get a gun. Put a rope up in the rafters. Don't tell me the enemy don't work that way. Well, we're saved, brother. We're saved, pastor. Oh, no, don't know. There's been many a good brother, Buster Seaton. I don't know if you all know him. He was a good preacher years ago. Took his own life. Because he had a lot on his shoulders. But we're afraid to acknowledge it as Christians, as Bible believers or independent Baptists, that these thoughts come in our mind. But I know they come in our mind. Because I know how the devil works. And isolation is not good. We need one another. And this morning was a blessing to me because I need it this morning. I need to be around you. I need to hear the singing. Because it lifts me up. And I hope it lifts you up to glorify Him. The one who's worthy of it all. Take your Bibles this morning and we're going to look at Mark chapter 1 this morning. Mark chapter 1 this morning and verse number 12. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 12. Mark chapter 1, I'm sorry, in verse number 40, Mark 1:40. We're looking this morning at this man that had leprosy. This man that had leprosy and the Lord heals him. So if you give me a few moments this morning, let's look at Mark chapter 1 and verse number 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning. I thank you, Lord, for these songs, dear God, that we can sing out to you and praise you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your long suffering. Thank you, Lord, for dealing gently with me. The Bible says, I believe in Psalms, Lord, that thy gentleness hath made me great. And Lord, I thank you for that gentleness. And Lord, I pray you just help us this morning. Get what you would have us to have out of your word. Lead God and direct your God. And may you receive all the glory, honor, and praise. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever seen pictures of individuals who have had leprosy, but it's a pretty serious disease, and it can cause some major issues for those that have it. Leprosy, the definition says, it's a foul, contagious disease appearing in dry, white, thin, scurfy scabs attended with violent itching. Leprosy begins to affect, from what I've read, the little bit of research I've done on leprosy. If left untreated, it can affect your eyesight. It can affect your internal organs. It can affect your hands. Your fingers will eventually wear away to nothing. I've seen pictures with people with leprosy, and they basically, their hands look like this. Their eyesight goes, their nose, they can begin to lose their nose. Now, some people have pictures of leprosy of fingers falling off. It doesn't work that way. And things just don't fall off. It just slowly wears away. There's two types of leprosies also. One's more severe than the other. And this Bible, the Bible says here that this man had, he was a leper. And according to the Bible, look, lepers had to stay without the camp. They couldn't just come in and mingle with the brethren. They had to stay away because of their leprosy. It said that prolonged contact with an infected individual with leprosy, and also that those that have a high bacterial load of leprosy, is a predisposing factor for the transmission of leprosy. So basically, if you spend a lot of time with somebody that has leprosy, they're finding, you might catch it. Another way that you catch leprosy is through the individual that has leprosy coughing or sneezing, and a droplet's getting in the air, and they breathe it in. Okay? But it usually takes a little bit of time for leprosy to show up in your body, sometimes up to a year. And isn't that the way of sin? You see, leprosy is a picture of sin. That's a perfect picture of sin. It's if you don't take care of sin immediate in your life, it may not show up right away. But if you let sin dwell in your life and you don't deal with it, it's eventually going to come out and it's going to be noticed. So one of the first lessons this morning is, if there's sin in your life, if there's something that's not right in your life with God, get it made right immediately. Don't let it grow to where it gets to a situation to where it starts to affect your eyesight, to where it starts to affect your walk, to where it starts to affect what you do with your hands for the Lord. Take care of sin immediately. Take it to the Lord Jesus Christ and get it covered in his blood and washed away and made right with the Lord. Get sin made right in your life. Take your Bible and look at Leviticus chapter number 13. Leviticus chapter number 13, 14, and 15 deal with uncleanness, particularly as it pertains to the body and the flesh. Leviticus chapter number 13. And look at verse number 1. Leviticus 13 and verse number 1. Bible says here in Leviticus, verse number 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in the sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean." Okay? Stay in the same chapter and look at verse 45 and verse 46. Same chapter, Leviticus, and look at verse 45 and 46. Still dealing with leprosy. Verse 45. "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and cry, Unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be." So the Bible, according to the law, and as Jesus deals with this leper, we're still under the law. Okay, Jesus hasn't died on the cross yet. Okay, the new birth hasn't been brought forth. So according to Leviticus, according to the Levitical law, a leper is unclean. So much so that he has to rent his clothes, his head is bare, and then he puts a covering over his upper lip, and as if he comes close to anyone, he's supposed to, according to the law, shout out and say, unclean, unclean, and knows to give warning to stay away from me because I'm not clean. Okay? And the Bible says in verse 46 here in Leviticus 13, he's to dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. And that's how sin is before we get saved. were unclean. And sin, if people are honest, most people are looking for acceptance. Most people are looking for acceptance. And they're, most people in society, for the most part, they're looking for something to fill that void in the heart that can only be filled by the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but there's times where you can be a crowd, be within a crowd and still be all alone. You can be in a room full of a family and relatives, but inside you're alone. You got people talking to you, you got people associated with you, you got people around you, yet you still feel alone. And that's what leprosy causes. That's what sin is. Sin drives individuals to where they're trying to fill a void that can only be filled by Jesus Christ. So a man that has leprosy, he's separated from the congregation. Look, if there's sin in your life, you're going to be separated from the congregation. And you're going to be separated from God until that's made right. So back to Mark chapter number 1. This man has leprosy. And I said it already that leprosy affects skin and nerves. It affects hands and feet. And it can cause problems with internal organs. You know what's a blessing about Mark chapter 1 and verse number 41? And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. You see, Jesus, here's a picture. Look, if you're looking at the story and the people are paying attention back then in the Old Testament, they're going to look and say, he just touched him. And if it was any other individual man or woman that touches somebody that had leprosy, they're also now unclean. You couldn't, if you touched someone that had leprosy and you were clean, according to Leviticus, if you were a Jew and you bumped into or touched someone that had leprosy, you're now just unclean as they're unclean. And you're now, according to law, until you bring the right sacrifices and are cleansed according by the priest and the Bible, you are now unclean just as that leper is unclean. But the Bible says here, Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and he touched him and he said, I will, be thou clean. Now someone could have brought up a question to Jesus. Lord, you just touched him. Now you're unclean. Oh no, he ain't unclean. No, because he's very God. And he has all power over sin, death, and the grave. He's not unclean. But Jesus says, I will be thou clean. And I love verse 42. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Now look, like I said, they could ask those questions. The Bible doesn't show here there that anybody asked him this question or confronted the Lord on this situation of, Lord, well, you touched him, Lord. Aren't you now unclean, Lord? We don't see anybody bringing this situation up. But what we do see is that the Lord is still obedient to the law. Because he is the law. He created the law. He put the law into effect for his people. And you notice what the Lord says to him. Immediately the leprosy departed from him. This man received physical healing from this disease of leprosy. And look what the Lord says in verse number 43. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. This man receives immediate physical healing from the Lord. But there's a problem. He receives physical healing. Now the Lord came to do miracles and healings and deliverance, but that's not the main reason he came. The main reason the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth is number one, to do his Father's will. And what was his Father's will is that he would become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is why Jesus came. These miracles he's doing, these deliverances he's doing for those with unclean spirits, and these works and things that he's doing that people are taking notice of, are just to prove and to show who he really is. He's backing up what Scripture said that the Messiah would do. But the Lord's not going to be disobedient to what the law says needs to be done. And you see the Lord Jesus Christ emphasizing this. This man, get the picture, This man comes down to him, has the right attitude, and it's the other accounts is found in Matthew and Luke, and this man comes, he falls down before the Lord, beseeching him that he would be made clean. And Jesus moves with compassion because he loves this man, because he loves us, and he's willing to die for us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus is moved with compassion. He sees this bad state that this man is in physically with leprosy, and he's moved with compassion. He touches him, and he says, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departs. But then the Lord looks at this man, and he says, I've got a charge for you. I've got a charge for you. A charge means this: to lay on, give, or communicate as an order. Command or earnest request. To give directions to instruct authoritatively. So with an authoritative statement, a charge, the Lord looks at this man and look what he tells him to do in verse number 44. And he saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But look at verse 45. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Number one here, this man was the first thing the Lord charged him with. This man was to keep his mouth shut and not say anything to any man about what had happened. Okay? The Lord looks at him, he says, the first thing he says to him, see thou say nothing to any man. Don't say nothing. Many Christians today may confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, but in actions deny him. Matthew chapter 15 verse 8 says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And you see a picture of this here with this man. The Lord charges him and says, listen, no. You need to be quiet. Why you need to be quiet? Because technically, you're not completely cleansed yet. Physically, you've been healed, but there's a spiritual side to this that God wants you to take care of. And that is according to the law that you need to go show yourself to the priest and offer for that cleansing and be a testimony to them and be obedient to what the law says to do. Number two, after he was supposed to be quiet, number two, he was supposed to go to the priest as Moses commanded and bring an offering for his cleansing, thus being a testimony unto them in the priesthood and without. Now think again of the questions it could cause those that are around him, especially the high priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Well, see, Jesus doesn't follow the law. See, this man he healed with leprosy. This man with leprosy never went to the priest and offered for his cleansing. And see, Jesus, he's disobedient to the law. Therefore, he can't be God, because any man that would come from God would be obedient to God's laws. Do you see the problems it could cause for Jesus? Because this man's not obedient to what he's telling him to do. James chapter 1, verse 22. Take a look over there for a moment. James chapter 1 and verse number 22. James 1, 22. We are to keep and be doers of what the Lord commands us to obey. We need to be doers and keepers of what the Lord commands us to obey. Well, preacher, does God command us to do anything in the New Testament? Yes, there's plenty that God commands us to do in the New Testament. One of them is love one another. That's just one of them. Okay? So look at James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Why? Deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Look at verse number 27. What is pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, what? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. There's some commands for you. Jesus, or James here, by the power of the Holy Ghost, writes down, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, James writes down, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. See, the Lord desires for us to be doers of his word, not just hearers only. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's good, that's proper. But now what you do know, God expects you to put it into practice. To be a doer of the word. You see, this man here that has leprosy, the Lord touched him. The Lord healed him physically. He received and got the answer that he was desiring from God, but then he didn't do what God told him to do. See, there'll be times where we can pray to the Lord and God will answer our prayer, but then are we doing what God's commanding us to do? Are we just hearers only and not doers? John 13, 34 and 35 says this, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Why, Lord? Why should we love one another? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You know how this world's going to know we're the Lord's disciples, that we're followers of the Jesus Christ? By the love that we have one towards another. That's one blessing that visitors should see about this church or any church that they go in that professes to know God and have the right Bible, is love among the brethren. I know that's what caught my attention at that church down there in Charleston. It was like any other church I've ever been in. I grew up in church. I've been to plenty of churches. But when I walked in that little dingy of a building down there that they were first in, it was a small old house that was converted to a little church. The wood was all, the floor was all messed up. You walked in the front door and it was kind of slanted because it was so old. The bathrooms were all old. But there was just something different in that church that I ain't never seen before or felt before. And it was love among the brethren. When they sang out of love to God, and I immediately knew that, and I was lost. I said, there's something different in this church. It's because that church had a love among the brethren. They were there for one another. We are family. And that family atmosphere came out to me, and I saw as a lost man, I said, there's something, these people have something that I don't have. And it's love, love for one another and a love for God. And it came out, and they're singing, and it came out amongst themselves. And there's power in that. Or else the Lord wouldn't say what he said in John chapter 13, 34 and 35. A commandment I give unto you. What's that commandment, Lord? That ye love one another. Deuteronomy 10 verse 19 says, love ye therefore the stranger. Why? Why, Lord, should we love the stranger? For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Even the Jews in the Old Testament, the Lord told them, you're to love the stranger. Why? Because the Lord doesn't want you to forget where you came from. The Lord doesn't want you to forget where you came from. Do you remember what it was like when you were lost? Do you remember how bad it was? The dominion that sin had over you? And yet God delivered you? And now we're to show that same love to others, even if they're strangers. Why? Because we need to remember that we were a stranger at one point. We were without the fold. We were without the camp, dying and undone in sins. Yet God had mercy on us and saved our souls and brought us into the fold. We then ought to have that same love to anybody that walks through those doors, no matter what they look like. No matter what they look like. If they're coming in those doors or this door right here, we ought to show them love. Because God might just be dealing with their heart and what they might need. Look, there is a difference between the North and the South. And I've lived in both for 20 years in each one, basically, close to it. And the North's got issues. And one, the South's got its own issues now. I'm not saying that. But one thing the South does, for the most part, well, there's a lot of Northerners down there now, so it's kind of changing the culture down there. But one thing in the South is they go slow. And there's a good thing in going slow. Because usually when you go slow, you're not have something slip up on you real quick because you're moving just too fast. And up here we move too fast. We got too much going on and we can't sit and be still and hear the still small voice of the Savior. I'm not saying anybody in this church. I'm just saying in general the culture up here in these New England states and northern states is just keep running, running. And they have no time just to sit back for a moment. Just stop. Take a breath. And relax. You said it in the book of Genesis, Jacob pled with Esau saying, I can't go with you because if I go with you, I'm going to end up driving my family and the sheep and the young ones and they can't handle it. And the devil, how did the devil, he drove him into the wilderness. Be careful the devil's not driving you to where you don't have no time just to sit and be still with God. And to show and see the love of God. This man was disobedient to what the Lord had commanded and the laws found in the Old Testament. His disobedience caused the work of the Lord to be inhibited and possibly brought about a view of the Lord that was incorrect, like I already stated. His actions could have caused others to become unclean. And that you can find in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 21. Look, this man had yet to receive the cleansing from the priest. So even though he's physically healed, and you can't notice it with your eyesight physically that this man has leprosy anymore, if he were to touch you or touch you, you too would now become unclean, according to the law of God. So his actions could cause others to become unclean and them not even realize it. You see, we affect one another. No man lives and dies to himself, and our actions affect other individuals, whether we realize it or not. And if there's uncleanness in our life and we're not getting it right, we might be affecting somebody else and them not even realize that we're affecting them for the worse. See, there may be something that you might be doing and you say, I got control of it. But the person who's watching you do this, they might not be able to have control over it. And it may just cause them issues and problems. If there's something to be made right, make it right, because our actions affect others, just as this man's actions could have very well made others unclean within the camp. His actions could have also hurt him. This is what I want to get to this morning. I'm almost done. His actions, by not being able to control himself, and I understand to a point of why this man would be so ecstatic at being healed from leprosy. Who wouldn't be ecstatic as this man was? He just had this horrible disease. I don't know how far the disease had progressed in his flesh, but it was bad enough for him to come crying out to Jesus for deliverance. And when this deliverance came, he came to the right person. He came to Jesus Christ. And immediately he was cleansed and made whole. Who wouldn't rejoice? Who wouldn't want to tell the world of what Jesus had just done for them? But he had to control his passions. And the Lord required of him to control his passions because the Lord charged him straightly, charged him saying, look, I understand you're excited. I know you're happy you've been healed. But we still got to be obedient to the law. Why, Lord, do I got to be obedient to the law? I'm clean, God. You heal me. And I could just see the Lord whispering to him, because there's some other things I want you to see. It's just not about physical deliverance, son. I want you to have spiritual deliverance. Take your Bible and look at Luke chapter number 14. Look at Leviticus chapter number 14, verse number 1. Leviticus chapter number 14 and verse number 1. Leviticus chapter number 14 and verse number 1. And And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command the one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and he shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. So here is what the Lord was wanting him to do. He was wanting him to come to the priest in order for him to be cleansed from the plague of leprosy according to the law. Look what it says in verse 3. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Now imagine that. Picture that in your mind. That if this man would have done what the Lord commanded him to do, he would have come to the priest and said, I need to see you. And the priest would have come out without the camp with him and saw him. And the priest, what's the first question is the priest going to ask? How did you receive this cleansing? How were you healed from leprosy? Are you sure you had leprosy? Because your skin looks perfect. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I had leprosy. Well, what happened? This man called Jesus. You see, I heard about this man called Jesus, that if I could just get to him, people had been healed by him, and I believe that he could heal me too. And when I came down there to Jesus and I fell before him and I beseeched him that I would be clean, he said, I will be the clean. And he just touched me, and immediately the leprosy was gone. You don't think that would cause questions by that priest? You say Jesus? Yeah, Jesus. He's the one that did it. And Jesus told me to come to you. He told you to come to me. Yeah, he said to come to you, it's going to be a testimony unto you and do those things that I need for the cleansing because I had leprosy. Look at verse number 8. What else happened there in verse 8? He was to wash his clothes. What also did he see? He saw the priest bring, I don't know if this man had ever seen this ceremony before, the offering for those that had leprosy, but he brings out two birds, and one bird is killed over living water, and its blood is shed, and then he takes a hyssop, and he takes scarlet, and he takes that cedar wood, and he sprinkles the blood, and he sees the blood shed by this bird for his sins, for that the plague of leprosy. And it gets sprinkled on, and the priest says, okay, you need to wash your clothes now, and you need to shave off all the hair on your head, and you need to wash yourself in water, and you'll be clean. And you can go back into the camp, but you still can't go in your tent yet. Okay, all right, let's just do this. And he shaves off all his head, he gets washed and cleaned up, and he washes his clothes. And imagine him coming back in the city. You don't have to say anything. People are already going to start wondering, something's different. What happened to you? I'll tell you later. I'm doing what the Lord Jesus told me to do right now, so that I can be cleansed from this leprosy. Look at verse number 10 or 9. And it should be on the seventh day. So he's in a camp, but he's without his tent for 7 days. In verse 9, and it should be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off. And he shall wash his clothes, and he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. Verse 10. And on the eighth day he shall take two he lambs without blemish, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 steel of fine flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest that make him clean shall present this man that is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering and a log of oil and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of his right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the right great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right hand and finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle the oil in his finger seven times before the Lord. Verse 17, and the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. You see what this man missed? This man missed a lamb, two sheep happened to die for his disease of leprosy. This man misses the lamb and the blood that was shed for him. He was excited, and no doubt rightfully so excited, but in his excitement, he was disobedient to the Lord, and he missed something I believe the Lord wanted him to see. And I believe the Lord wanted him to see that lamb that had to shed its blood for the disease of leprosy he had. John 1:29 says, John said, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And later on in the book of John, chapter 14 through 16, the Lord talks about the Comforter, the Holy Ghost who would come, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. This man missed a lot because he was unable to be obedient to what God commanded him. And I believe he missed something special. I believed he missed the picture of the Lamb. And I believe there's many Christians today, they say the right things, they got the right words, but they're missing the Lamb. They're missing what the Lamb's done for them. They've forgotten what the Lamb's done for them. They're happy, they're ecstatic because the Lord answers some prayers, but they're not being obedient to the things God's commanded in His Word. And thus, they're missing something special that the Lord's trying to show them. Don't miss the Lamb. Don't miss the Lamb. Don't miss, if you're saved this morning, don't miss what God's trying to do in your life because you're caught up in other things that you think God might be wanting to do in your life. Spend time in His Word. Read it, study it, read it, study it, meditate upon it. Spend time in prayer and ask God to show you what He would have you to see so that you can draw close to Him. The Bible says there in verse number 18 in the last sentence, to make an atonement for him before the Lord. Atonement means this: agreement, reconciliation after enmity or controversy. Reconciliation in the scripture for the most times means this. It means by which sinners are reconciled and brought into a state of favor with God after natural estrangement or enmity. You see, this man missed true reconciliation with God. He was healed physically, but he was disobedient spiritually. He didn't do what he was supposed to do according to the law of God. Ephesians 1:7 says this, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." And lastly, Hebrews 9:14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Let us always be obedient to the commands that God's given us. If He's answered a prayer in your life, good, wonderful. But make sure you don't get caught up with the answer of prayer and you thus become disobedient to something else God's wanting you to do in your life. Don't miss the things that the Lord may be trying to teach you. Okay? I hope that made sense this morning. That's one thing that just jumped out at me one time reading through that passage there, that man missed the Lamb of God. He missed the Lamb. Hopefully he didn't miss the Lamb of God later on when Jesus died on that cross. Hopefully he didn't. But he sure did miss the Lamb in the Old Testament, which was a picture of Jesus Christ and what he had come to do, to take away the sins of the world and to make us the righteousness of God in him. Not just to be healed physically. That's good. But spiritual cleansing and healing is what mankind needs. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this morning, Lord. I thank you for your blessings, your mercy, and your grace. I thank you, Lord, that we had this opportunity to meet this morning, Lord. Help us, dear God, to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to not get so caught up, so busy in this life, Lord, that we don't take time to just sit still for a moment and try to hear what you're trying to tell us, Lord. Help us to be obedient. Help us to stay in your word. Help us not to drift away. And Lord, if we have drifted away, help us renew those flames again in our heart, dear God, that we'd have a greater love for you in these last days that we're living in. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We give you the glory and honor. Thank you for these precious brethren. Lord, watch out for them the rest of this day, dear God, as they head home. Lord, keep us safe on the roadways, Lord. And I pray, if it be your will, you would bring us back again safely this evening. Lord, we love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Love you and all dismissed. Amen.